Okay, so we're going to get started. This is actually the first podcast I've conducted. So I'm happy to be joined with my friend, fellow Louisiana resident, and fellow Rice Owl, Zach Coplin. Zach, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and you know, Zach, for the last 2.5 years, or I guess depending on your source, for the last 5 years, has been working to repeal the Louisiana Science Education Act, and more recently has been sort of the focus of a lot of national attention in his efforts, I guess, really to promote the insidious nature in which school vouchers are being used to fund, through taxpayer subsidization, far-right religious schools, many of whom deny the validity of evolution and teach religion instead of science. So I guess before we get started, our purpose here is to have an in-depth conversation on these issues and specifically how they affect Louisiana. So let me lead off here. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you first, considering it hit the news today, what you think about being publicly called brainwashed by the guy who started the Creation Museum. I think, what's his name?
Ken Ham.
Ken Ham. All right, well, okay, so not to sound disrespectful to Mr. Ham, but it is sort of a little ironic to be called brainwashed by a guy who's built his entire career trying to comport his religion to science, or his religious belief that the world is only 6,000 years old with science. Last week, Glenn Beck's website also called you creationist worst nightmare. So I'm wondering why you think these folks feel like they're threatened by you.
Well, according to Ken Ham's website, it's because I am, quote, spreading the lie of evolution. So that's why I'm apparently their worst nightmare.
Okay, so I mean, well, it's a... You know, there's another part of it, too, which is that you're only 19 years old, and maybe they feel threatened by their inability to really go after a 19-year-old the way they would, let's say, you know, a 45-year-old scientist, right?
That's true, although Ken Ham didn't really have too much of a problem with it this morning.
No. I'm curious, so Ken Ham challenged you to a debate, although, oddly enough, did not challenge you to a debate with himself. He challenged you to debate one of his scientists. What do you think about that?
Well, I, first off, would only debate, I would only have a discussion with Ken Ham, and I would also only be willing to have a discussion moderated by another comedian like Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
that's sort of my position on it, I think.
It would be really great TV, I think.
I think so, too.
All right, well, let's take a step back here. The idea here is to have a conversation really about how these issues affect Louisiana. I know I've told you before, when I was 17, back when you were 17, you started this whole repeal effort. When I was 17, the Kansas Board of Education in the great state of Kansas attempted to essentially ban the teaching of evolution in their public school science classrooms, ban all the textbooks. It was a national story. Thomas Frank wrote a book called What's the Matter with Kansas? They mentioned this as part of, you know, one, I think there's a chapter on this in there. I personally would have never expected that 10 years later, the same thing would happen in Louisiana. And definitely would not have anticipated, I don't think anybody would have, that the repeal effort would have been led by somebody who's only 17 years old. But you've always said, for the last 2 years, I think, that Louisiana is, and using your words, that Louisiana is addicted to creationism. So let's talk about Louisiana's history with creationism.
So our first creationism law, the Balanced Treatment for Creation Science and Evolution Science Act, was passed in 1982 and was sued for violating the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. And so the first time we had a creationism law, it was defeated in 1987 in the Edwards versus Aguilar court case, which set precedent for the entire United States that creationism was unconstitutional. We really didn't learn our lesson, and we've been back trying to creationists are trying to throw out science textbooks, put creationism in the school vouchers. We have this creationism law right now. So that's why I've been saying it's addicted to creationism. Louisiana's addicted to creationism. Because creationists are trying to put creationism in the classroom in any way they can, basically.
Yeah, so let's go to Edwards. Edwards v. Aguilar. I think maybe a lot of people don't realize that Edwards in that case would be Governor Edwin W. Edwards, mm-hmm. right?
It was a case against the state of Louisiana, so yeah.
Yeah, and I think initially it was actually Buddy Romer, and then the plaintiff got changed to Edwin Edwards. But I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this case is still legal precedent, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so in many ways, so Louisiana passed a law, essentially, that required creation science to be given sort of equal footing with evolution?
Equal treatment. Everywhere that evolution was taught, creationism must be taught.
Right.
And on the other hand, if evolution wasn't taught, they didn't require creationism to be taught with it, but anywhere evolution was taught, it had to be with creationism in the law.
Right. Okay, so this is about, and I know it was ruled unconstitutional, but then we skip forward to 2008, and we see this Louisiana Science Education Act, which cleverly, I think, changes some of the language in that law that was ruled unconstitutional, and you know, appeals to this whole idea of teaching the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
This fairness idea that it sounds great to Americans who like fairness and like both sides of an issue to be aired, but this is an issue that there aren't two sides of an issue on. There's not two sides on. Evolution is science, creationism is not, and it's really as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, there's really no controversy, is what you're saying.
Exactly. There's a political controversy among, for example, Louisiana legislators and some legislators nationally. Senator Rick Santorum believes there's a controversy over evolution, but unfortunately for Senator Rick Santorum, he's also not a scientist, so he's not really an expert on the issue.
Right, right. I mean, I understand that, and I think that, you know, some of the people that oppose your efforts would say, well, we have, you know, like the guy today, Ken Ham, would say, well, I have scientists that will back up my claims. What do you say to them?
So, the creationists have this list of scientists they like to trot out who they call the Descent from Darwin list. It's got 700 names in various random fields, statisticians, chemical engineers, mechanical engineers, anyone with a PhD they can find on their list. And they like to promote this list all over. And so the National Center for Science Education had a very clever response to the sort of, if we're going to make lists of scientists, we're going to make a list bigger than yours, and we're only going to make it with a scientist named Steve, which is about, they said, 1% of the population. So they assumed their list would easily be about 100 times the size if they opened it up to everyone. And it's already got roughly twice the amount of scientists as the creationist Descent from Darwin list. So that sort of illustrates who's got the scientists on their side. If you can get more scientists named Steve by a substantial amount than scientists opposing evolution, and also many more of these scientists are actually biologists, and there are also many more eminent scientists who have actually done real research that has made a real difference in our lives today, who signed that list, than the Descent from Darwin list.
Right.
So really, it's not a scientific controversy. They can trot out one or two scientists. For example, in Louisiana, they trotted out 15 PhD scientists in response to the Nobel laureates who endorsed repeal of the Louisiana Science Education Act. But honestly, 15 creationist scientists from Louisiana College, as much as the Louisiana Family Forum would like to pretend they're equal to 78 Nobel laureate scientists, that's frankly not true.
Right. And yeah, and then you're bringing up the point that your initial effort against the Louisiana Science Education Act was endorsed by 78 Nobel laureates. I'm just looking here that the Edwards v. Aguillard case, there were amicus briefs filed by something like 72 different Nobel laureates as well. And I guess the basic idea, and hold on one sec too, I want to correct you real quick, because I don't think Louisiana College employs 15 PhD level scientists. I think they may have had one, right?
That testified. At least one from Louisiana College.
At least one from Louisiana College, which is, in my personal opinion, not a bastion of or known for the open exchange of ideas. But let's go to this idea of how these creationists, these sort of New Earth creationists, which are people essentially that believe in the literal interpretation of the book of Genesis, that the world, it was created 6,000 years ago in a span of 6 days. I guess God rested on the seventh day. And then essentially the fossil record is created by the devil to deceive us.
That's one explanation they've given.
One of many, right? And they believe in the literal interpretation of Noah's Ark, the flooding of the world, that the every single animal was put on the ark. Anyway, so they got defeated in Edwards v. Aguilar by the Supreme Court in a fairly robust decision in the 80s. And then the issue kind of died out until, like I said, I was in high school in the late 90s, and this sort of resurfaced in Kansas. And then again died out until really 2008 and the Louisiana Science Education Act. What lessons did they learn? How did they change the language of the legislation between the 80s legislation that got ruled unconstitutional and the Louisiana Science Education Act in 2008?
So there has been several phases of creationism over the last 30 or so years. So the first one was the creation science phase. They wanted to pretend it was a science, and they demanded equal treatment. That one didn't work, and so they thought of intelligent design.
And when you say they, specifically, who do you mean by they?
I mean groups like the creationist intelligent design creationism think tank in Seattle, the Discovery Institute, which has been for years drafting model legislation to sneak creationism into classrooms and passing it off to local groups, local folks on the family groups, and religious right groups around the country to sort of get past their legislators and sneak creationism into the classroom. So far, the effort has worked in Louisiana and Tennessee as actual laws, but they've also been involved in fights at State Board of Education level around the country. I've tried a lot of different things.
Right. The Discovery Institute in Seattle, I guess, being the sort of the national leader in this model legislation, right? And then they used Louisiana as essentially their testing ground. Like you said,
yeah.
We're addicted to creationism. What a great place to try this out than, you know, the place that Edwards v. Aguilar was set in, right?
Mm-hmm. And also the home of Dr. Barbara Forrest, who was an expert witness at the Dover versus Kitzmiller trial, or Kitzmiller versus Dover trial, which invalidated intelligent design. And Dr. Forrest embarrassed the creationists during that trial quite a bit. And so I imagine they were eager to go take her on her own turf also.
Yeah, I don't want to get let's not get too thick into the weeds here on the legal stuff, but I think it is important that essentially what these folks have been trying to do over the last two decades is creatively find a rhetorical way of defining the teach the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know what the correct word would the idea that it's a pedagogy, it's a valid pedagogy to teach the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Without tipping their hat too much in favor of one particular religion, although it's sort of a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you know what I mean? This is really about New Earth creationism. Have you encountered any school that has taught the controversy with any other creation myths aside from the Christian-based, the Genesis-based myth?
I have not found any other religious school from a different faith that has taught it. Having said that, there is some problems in Islamic countries with teaching evolution. It's not just a Christian problem,
right,
in the slightest. But in America, it's overwhelmingly from one group. And because I assume you were sort of talking, you were meaning school vouchers in my research.
Right, right. Well, the national research would be the school vouchers issue.
And so I looked at the overwhelming majority of these voucher schools that I looked at were Christian academies, and I would search them for creationism. I also looked at some Jewish schools and some Islamic schools, and none of the schools that I looked at were actually teaching creationism. And so it seemed just to be these Christian academies that were teaching it.
What's interesting, too, is that in Louisiana, and I'm sure this is probably true for the rest of the country, too, a lot of these schools are Catholic, parochial schools, and Catholicism actually does embrace the idea of evolution. They don't deny evolution since, I guess, Pope John Paul II.
John Paul II said there is no conflict between evolution and the doctrine of faith, and that's been the position of the Catholic Church.
So the Catholic schools that you've seen in Louisiana, I know we're sort of jumping issues here. We've got the Louisiana Science Education Act on one hand, and I think it's important that people don't get confused about the two issues, because they are two distinct issues. You have the Louisiana Science Education Act, which really primarily affects public schools and the ability of public schools to teach, quote-unquote, teach the controversy in public school science classrooms. And then you have this separate issue of taxpayer money being used through school voucher programs to essentially, as a way of backdoor funding religious schools, radical right religious schools, primarily, it seems. 90-something percent of them are religiously affiliated. Not all of those, I guess, are teaching New Earth creationism, but how many have you found in Louisiana?
So there's a solid 20 that have put on their website or emailed me or said something to the news that they're teaching creationism. And these overwhelmingly have come from sort of Protestant Christian academies, although there was one Catholic school that did say they were teaching it.
Yeah, that would be for people in Alexandria, that'd be Holy Savior Menard High School. Whose science teacher, I guess some biology teacher, admitted to the paper that this was what he was teaching his students, even though obviously the Pope said there's no conflict. Sort of interesting that he would openly admit to this, but let's talk about the reason this is sort of pernicious and why you think why you took this up as your cause and why you think it's important to call public attention to this.
So, I took it up as my cause. It's always been sort of a perfect storm. I've always been interested in evolution for some reason. The Louisiana Science Education Act, I knew when it passed in 2008. As we mentioned, I wrote a school paper on it, a research paper for one of my classes, on basically why it was bad and should be repealed. So, it's always been on my mind. And this law specifically represented sort of I hadn't really learned, I guess I'll say, to love the good things about Louisiana and fight the bad.
Right.
And so this law represented everything that I thought was wrong with the state at the time. And it was really embarrassing. I had family and friends out of state. They knew about the Louisiana Science Education Act because the New York Times had covered it. And it was really embarrassing. And so I had that on my mind. And that was really, if I was ever going to take a stand against what I perceived as a problem in Louisiana, it was against that law.
Right. And so, the Louisiana Science Education Act, let's go back to that. We are sort of skipping around here, but let's go back to that. The Louisiana Science Education Act, like we said, was passed into law in, I believe, June of 2008, signed into law by Governor Jindal.
Yeah.
And to your knowledge, has it been used so far by any school district, any public school district, to walk around the teaching of evolution, or have they... To your knowledge, has any school district used supplementary materials to teach New Earth creationism in a science class?
So the problem with the Louisiana Science Education Act is it's constructed specifically to avoid accountability. I cannot be in a science classroom around the state and look at what these teachers are teaching. Because it's nearly impossible for me to set myself up to step in for a day and then be
right
there while a teacher is misusing this law. Now, what we can look at is we can see what school boards are trying to do with this law. And that's where we really get a good idea of how this law is being used. So, starting with Livingston Parish, for example, in 2010, the Livingston Parish School Board had a nice long discussion about how they could use this law for, quote, critical thinking and creationism in the science classroom. And they had a big debate over whether they should take a stand and risk litigation, but take a stand for Jesus. And so that's one school. That's one school board.
They said Jesus in the.
Yeah, they. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something about we don't want litigation, but we should take a stand for Jesus.
Right.
And that was sort of so. They were talking about basically using this law, and this law, remember, just allows creationism to be snuck in through supplemental materials,
right,
to quote critique controversial theories, politically controversial theories like evolution and climate change.
Yeah, let's talk about this, because we spoke about this the other night, and I don't think a lot of people really understand that a public science school teacher in Louisiana, technically, hypothetically, right, they're all required to use the textbooks that,
mm-hmm,
you know, the required textbooks. But hypothetically, they could teach 99% of their course from supplementary materials.
They don't specify what they just basically say you have to use the required textbook.
Right.
And you're also allowed basically to help your students understand things like evolution, in case your students have trouble understanding evolution through the great Miller-Levine-Pearson textbook that explains evolution quite well. Ken Miller, who wrote it, a Brown biology major, is a friend of mine, and I know his textbook's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that's the one that I used in high school. I think that one's been around for a long time, right?
Yeah, some version of it. I certainly used it in high school. And so you can use these textbooks, and then you can use these supplemental materials, and we've seen examples of them. They're basically creationist talking points.
Right, but the state doesn't prescribe a certain curriculum in the biology classroom right now. I mean, there's a way of working around that, right, with the supplementary material?
Yeah, you can work around the required curriculum by just bringing in a supplemental material. You can bring in a creationist textbook. You can bring in these sort of like things that are meant to undermine evolution to students who are experts. So all these things in these supplemental materials, they're often like problems that the creationists claim evolution has. And so scientists have rebutted these problems, but the students in these classrooms don't know that, and so they think there are legitimate flaws in the theory of evolution.
Right.
And then, therefore, the creationist professor would say, since there are flaws in evolution, we have to go to creationism and intelligent design as our explanation. And so that's sort of how it works. And on the textbook specifically, you may remember back in 2010 when the Louisiana Family Forum attempted to throw out our biology books. And so if we had no new biology books, and our last biology books were adopted in like 2003, then we would really need those supplemental materials potentially to teach our students, right? Wouldn't we?
Right.
If we didn't have any textbooks,
right,
those supplemental materials, in theory, could be argued as vital to science education in Louisiana. And so I think that was the end goal of the Louisiana Science Education Act, is pass this law to allow supplemental materials and throw out all the good biology books.
Right. It was a workaround from their defeat at Bessie when they couldn't get the textbooks that they wanted, right? I mean,
they were not happy with that and tried to work around it for the last 2 years and basically take away authority from Bessie to even approve textbooks for the last 2 years because of that ruling.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that, okay, so you have this on the public school side, and then we have the voucher, we have the way the vouchers are being used on the sort of the private parochial school side. But in the middle of both of these issues, we have Governor Bobby Jindal, who is an Ivy League Brown University graduate who majored in biology. I mean, I have my own opinion, and I think I know what yours is, but share with me, if you will, what do you think? Why is it that Bobby Jindal has promoted these interests? What's in it for him, and do you think he's being disingenuous or dishonest, or is he really a true believer in this stuff?
So I think Bobby Jindal understands exactly how vital evolution is to biology. His genetics professor, for example, asked him to throw the Louisiana Science Education Act and not pull the ladder on other doctors or other future doctors who could benefit from learning evolution.
Right.
So I think Bobby Jindal understands this. I mentioned Ken Miller earlier. He's a star biology professor at Brown University. He made sure Governor Jindal had never been in any of his classes because he couldn't believe any one of his students would ever sign a law like this.
Is it just cynical politics on his part, or I mean, is this pandering to the religious right and the notion that their religious beliefs should be treated as valid scientific theory, and it's just as cynical as that, or is there something else going on there?
I wish I could be in Bobby Jindal's head, and I really hope that he comes to our side one day.
Yeah.
I think he understands exactly how vital evolution is. And so, I mean, it's interesting to see how it could benefit him politically to basically pull up the ladder on Louisiana students by taking away their ability to learn evolution, have them talk creationism. But, I mean, who knows what Bobby Jindal's thinking.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier the Louisiana Family Forum, and I can go off on a little tangent about them. You know, in the research I've done, and I know you're aware of it, the Louisiana Family Forum is organized as a 501c3, and they have a 501c4 action committee that sort of does their political lobbying for them, seems to be completely funded by their tax-deductible 501c3. They are probably, and I think you'll probably agree, the most powerful lobbying group in the state of Louisiana.
I don't think fair thing to say about them. I don't know anyone else. Maybe lobby has as much power as them, but I don't know. Otherwise, they're pretty powerful.
Yeah, and they influence a lot of local races for state rep and state senate. And this was a bill, the Louisiana Science Education Act, I believe, that was really spearheaded and championed not only by the Discovery Institute, like you mentioned earlier, but really by the Louisiana Family Forum. They sort of brought this to the table, right?
Right. So the quote from Senator Ben Nevers, who sponsored the Louisiana Science Education Act, was that the Family Forum asked him to sponsor this bill, and they asked him because they wanted creationism in the science classroom.
So the whole workaround, this whole thing with the bill, the legislation where they tried to be clever about the way that it was framed, you know, to where it would seem like this is about teaching any controversy, not just about promoting one particular religion, which is what they did in Edwards v. Aguilar.
I mean, speaking of the promoting any controversy, so what if I believe there's a controversy over chemistry and alchemy is a legitimate scientific discipline that we should be teaching instead of chemistry? I mean, technically under the law, that's just as legitimate.
Right.
Or say you and me went down to Jackson Square in New Orleans and we picked up an astrologer from Jackson Square and said, hey, we really want you to go teach a local astronomy class today. That would also be valid under the Louisiana Science Education Act.
But we know that the law was not created for that purpose. And if we were to do that, it would undermine the credibility of the law, right? So go ahead. What?
I said, but it totally could happen under the law.
Right.
It brings back memories of the Kitzmiller trial, where an expert witness for the creationists admitted under oath that under his definition of a scientific theory, astrology was just as legitimate as intelligent design.
He was sort of pigeonholed into making that argument because
it's because he had no choice. I mean, he didn't lie under oath, at least.
Right.
That's sort of like, I mean, intelligent design does not fit under the normal definition of what a scientific theory is.
So we had this issue with the LSEA, and we still do, and I know that Senator Karen Carter-Peterson has already sponsored two repeal bills, and we can go back to sort of how the viral nature of your most recent national press has sort of put a spotlight on some of those local senators, but we had, and I'm sure she's going to put up another repeal bill next session. But in the interim, Bobby Jindal announced this voucher program, the Student Scholarship for Excellence in Education
program,
SSEEP, right? Which is which the Wall Street Journal, you know, famously said it was Bobby Jindal's moonshot. If he has his way, it could end up being the largest voucher program in the country. And so when this occurred initially, I think both of us were probably a little cynical about it, given the history of the LSEA. But talk about how you started your research on these schools that were receiving voucher money and why, you know, what exactly led to your discovery of these 20 schools that are using taxpayer money to teach creationism instead of evolution?
So, we both sort of sat on the side and watched as the voucher program passed.
Right.
At that time, I didn't really know that much about how school vouchers worked until you sent me that alternate article, actually, on the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
I took that and read it, and then started looking a little bit more at some of these schools in the program. I downloaded a list of all the voucher schools in Louisiana, and we both went through the list and picked out sort of which schools look like they also fit the mold of the one highlighted, Eternity Christian Academy, and which might be teaching creationism. And so I just Googled those schools, looked at their websites, and found some pretty interesting stuff. Like, I think my personal favorite, do you remember the Sinful Scientists?
Yeah.
And then my personal favorite school I found was a school whose principal wrote a newsletter quoting Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum about how the Earth is like 6,000 years old and evolution is bad. And also, that the reason we have evolution is because scientists are sinful men who are trying to explain the world without God so they don't have to be moral. That was what she said about science. And so, you can tell these students with getting these school vouchers are definitely getting a better education than the public schools.
Right. There are so many different issues that are all wrapped up into this, and I mean, you alluded to this, and I guess I'm, you know, I should say, yes, we did sort of collaborate. You are my partner in crime on a lot of this stuff, and we did collaborate early on this stuff. But you really did take a lot of the initial research that I had done and just ran with it and found and really looked up all the schools that, teach this, what is it, ACE, which is stands for?
Accelerated Christian Education.
And Bob Jones, and Bob Jones, of course, is the university. And then ABECA, I don't know what ABEC or ABECA.
It's just another creationist curriculum. It's a very popular one.
So you found these three main curricula that are really are used mainly in homeschooling settings, right?
And they've been highlighted by some people who had sort of gone through these Christian homeschoolings and had done articles earlier on, like, this is what Christian homeschool looks like. It's then talked about sort of the crazy things that had been taught. But it wasn't until Governor Jindal's program that the connection between these materials and vouchers actually got made.
Right. So essentially, so the audience knows, so what you did is you cross-referenced the schools in Louisiana that received voucher money with the schools in Louisiana that used these curricula, these textbooks.
Yeah.
And were able to, and also a little bit of research on the web, you know, involving, you know, specific schools and the whole master list of schools, just simple Google searches, right?
So what I would do is, I mean, I Googled their website and go look for the curriculum. If they said they use ACE, ABECA, Bob Jones, or these other curriculums, I've got a nice long list of, give me a second, different creationist curriculums. So Apologia, Foundation for American Christian Education, Alpha Omega, Purpose Design, Concordia, Landmark Freedom Baptist Curriculum, Christian Schools International. There's these like lists of creationist curriculums that are being used, and they're mainly homeschool curriculums.
Right.
But they're also being used in these private religious schools, and they're teaching just like one of my books is basically, when it talks about radiation, I bought some sets of these books. An Alpha Omega set has you fill in the different sections of God's armor that can protect you from radiation.
Huh.
And I got a nice copy of Creation Science, Creation with Biology from Apologia Press, that I explained dinosaurs live with humans and that science causes misery and woe and we can't actually trust science. So that's from a science book. So it's interesting.
It is interesting, and it you know, again, not to sound too cynical, but you know, earlier today was the inauguration. We had President Obama came up on stage and addressed the whole idea of people that deny the science, but you can't deny what's really going on in the world. And what do you think? I mean, if we're educating thousands and thousands of Louisianans, of young minds who, like you said, don't know the difference because they've never been taught anything differently. What do you think the long-term impact of that is on the state?
So, I mean, the best anecdote I can give you is Dr. Kevin Carman, who is no longer in Louisiana. The former LSU graduate dean of sciences has now left to go to, he's now the provost and vice president at University of Nevada, Reno, I think. But he testified before the Louisiana Senate Education Committee about the Louisiana Science Education Act, and one of the things he mentioned is the negative impact it's had on LSU, where he has had researchers leave LSU and state, they're leaving because they don't want to be in a state with a creationism law.
Right.
Researchers decline job offers. They even want to bring these great researchers in to be at LSU, and they told him, we don't want to come to a state that has a creationism law.
Right. It speaks to, your state is being led by a governor who signed this into law.
Yeah. And so there's a real negative economic impact on Louisiana. That's one thing. The second I think we should mention is I mean, the Society for Integrative and Comparative Biology, it's a science convention, or it's a science organization that has a yearly convention. And the Society's convention, the National Center for Science Education, gave a figure that Louisiana lost about $2.7 million when it left. And it pulled out in response to the passage of the Louisiana Science Education Act, pulled a pre-scheduled convention from Louisiana and went to Salt Lake City and has been boycotting the state since early 2009. Now they are they're lifting their boycott of New Orleans after New Orleans has taken very large pro-science steps in the last 2 years. But they have not lifted their boycott of Baton Rouge, Alexandria,
right,
Freeport, because
I think you're referring to Tom Robichaud's recent resolution that basically said we're not going to teach creationism, which was his last hurrah and a great way to go out as the president of the school board there. But there are a couple of other things too, Zach, that are worth mentioning. You know, and we've talked about it before, never on a podcast, but the idea that these students aren't prepared to take standardized tests. And that it could really affect their AP test results and could affect their ability to gain entry into certain premier universities. And in fact, I think the entire University of California public education system, right?
So, yeah. So in the court case, there's a court case that it was ACSI versus, or ASCI, Association of Christian Schools International, versus Stearns.
Right.
Where the judge basically ruled in favor of the University of California system's ability to refuse to recognize high school credits for science classes and other classes taken at Christian schools that use books like Abeka and Bob Jones.
Right.
So this would really affect the bachelor program, which is, if you graduate from, I'm looking at, say, Northeast Baptist School in West Monroe, which uses Abeka and Bob Jones, you're going to have a lot of trouble.
And you may not even be able to get into the LSU Honors College, right?
Yeah. Depending on what these schools' restrictions are and what they take, you would have to retake high school classes that actually teach science before you can go to college.
Well, it's important for people to know. I mean, you could graduate as a valedictorian in one of these schools, have a 4.0, and be denied entry to any of the schools, and I mean, I know it's a bastion of liberalism, but be denied entry to any of the schools in California, not because of your grades, but because of the quality of the curriculum that you took in high school.
That's nothing. It's not your fault. Nothing you can do about it. Except transfer schools.
Right. And it's just ironic that this is being used as the excuses that it's about creating competition and giving students better alternatives. Speaking of all this, this is a great transition into an issue that really hasn't been brought up a lot. You and I brought it up, I think, but I don't know if many other people have, and that includes our good friends in the teachers unions. the curriculum debate. There is a proviso in the Louisiana State Constitution. I believe it's Article 8, Section 4?
Yeah.
That sounds right?
That's right.
And maybe you can describe what it says.
So, it says something like, all schools that are privately approved, or private schools that are approved by the state, which means they can receive state money, must have curriculums at least equal to that of similar public schools. Our superintendent, John White, has also taken inspiration from that when he wrote his own accountability standards for the vouchers and also said these private schools must have curriculum at least equal to public schools. And so I've been a little bit confused because there's this constitutional provision, there's this accountability provision that the superintendent of schools wrote that says the curriculum must be equal. So I presented it to the superintendent in front of the State Board of Education, a list of these schools where the curriculum does not meet what's outlined in, for example, Louisiana's comprehensive biology curriculum.
Right.
Which is on the State Board of Education's website, and you can all go look it up, that the curriculum does not match that. So I presented these schools to them and asked when these schools would be removed from the voucher program. So far, it has been, since July, and I have not heard a response about this yet.
Yeah, and it, that's, I mean, and John White is sort of walking a tightrope here, because on one hand he wants to say that he's going to increase, and he realizes that the public pressure is to increase accountability for the schools. It was a national embarrassment, really, when you and others, including myself, exposed some of the schools that he'd admitted, like the one that, you know, the prophet apostle guy in New Orleans, Leonard Lucas. And some of these fly-by-night operators that just appear to have come out of nowhere to take up a bunch of taxpayer resources. I think it's called New Living Word Church, which church school, right?
Yeah.
In Monroe, or Ruston. Ruston.
Just no chapel and gym because they don't have the facilities?
Yes, and is the largest single recipient of voucher funding and has the largest number of seats in the entire program in the state. But so he's trying to walk a tightrope here, right? He's trying to say that he wants to increase accountability after this big fiasco about the schools that he admitted. But at the same time, he also wants to say it's really not the state's role to go in and look at your specific curriculum.
In my opinion on that is, while I appreciate that private schools are not governed by the state, these voucher schools aren't really your average private school anymore.
He only wants to test, right? He only will test or wants to test the school, the kids at these schools who are receiving voucher money.
Yeah. And he also only wants, it's going to be like 4 years before any of these basic accountability measures come in the first place. And these students, for example, may be able to pass the standardized test despite failing biology.
Right.
And so they could absolutely fail biology because they had been taught creationism, but still, if they do well in English and math, say, they'll be able to graduate. I do have one thing to mention though: is Louisiana could be worse in terms of, we talked about sort of the teaching students in like the chapel and the gym.
Right.
There's other bachelor programs across the country which are also teaching creationism. Hundreds of schools across the country. But here's a quote from the Miami Times about Florida's program, which basically says that administrators who run these schools in Florida have, these administrators who have received funding include criminals convicted of cocaine dealing, kidnapping, witness tampering, and burglary. So we could be there at least.
Right. Well, I mean, cautionary tales.
Yeah, but it's totally what could happen to us.
And you know, we actually have an example in Louisiana, although it's not a cocaine deal or anything like that, of a school that was admitted into the program, and later I think the town talk actually discovered that one of the principals there, one of the executive administrators there, was convicted of stealing or some sort of felony offense for embezzling money from the school. They were, I think, one of the only two schools that John White actually ended up kicking out of the program.
Which is a sad thing to say. There's been, school after school has been exposed as having problems and needing to be removed. And the minimum standards have basically been like fire code. He removed the school for fire code.
Right.
Violating. Because, I guess that's the biggest problem is when you have a school that can't even meet fire code, then,
I want to go back to this whole idea of the curriculum debate, because we need to mention this Rankin's decision that I don't think a lot of people know about. It was alluded to by John White and other people at the Department of Education. I don't know if it was specifically referenced, but certainly the language and the premise of it was. So Rankin's v. Louisiana State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can describe, and I don't mind, I can describe it too, but what exactly it means and why it's important.
So Rankin's, essentially the way it's being used by the state, is Rankin said that...
Rankin's, by the way, is a state-level, state-circuit-level opinion.
There's no holding, right?
Yeah, well, it's not mandatory authority, it's just the first circuit, I believe the first state circuit, so let's make that clear, it's not a... But they are using this. This is sort of the only authority on the case, or on the curriculum stuff.
So they're using it to basically say, what they ruled is that the only thing that what curriculum counted that as is Carnegie units, which is basically a time-based unit of class. So if I am in a class titled math for 50 minutes, 3 times a week, and for 18 weeks, it doesn't matter if they teach about zebras in the class,
right.
If they teach math, it's technically satisfying the curriculum requirements. That's what the state is arguing.
And, wait, let's be clear here. It's satisfying the curriculum requirements for private schools. So what the case was about was a group of students that sued the Louisiana State Board of Education because they were unable to get their diplomas because they failed the GED, right? And so they said, well, this is unfair. You're making us take the GED, but you're not making any private school students take the GED.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the judge in the case sort of looked over that issue and said, oh, it doesn't really... The ruling actually, and a lot of people would say it's all dicta, it doesn't really matter, but was essentially about how private schools had the right to teach whatever the hell they wanted to, as long as they met what you say is the Carnegie unit requirement, which is the number of hours literally a student sits behind a desk.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing to note is Superintendent White has been also justifying sort of these voucher programs and claiming they'll have accountability based on standardized testing, which the bank is ruling.
Right. That's interesting.
Think about this. This is sort of, he's ignoring the real ruling in the case, but taking sort of the side note and using it as justification to not throw out these schools.
Right.
And that's a fascinating thing to see.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it hasn't really been looked at again since the Rankin's ruling, which, I mean, I think I have it pulled up here. It was 1994. So, yeah, we're looking at like 17 years there.